and the light of holiness. Foretaught by the Spirit of God, his preaching produced innumerable fruits. Another brother, Bentivoglio of Severino, was seen by Brother Maceo raised above the earth as he was praying in the forest, at the sight of which miracle Brother Maceo became a friar minor and grew so holy that he worked many miracles, both during his lifetime and after his death. He is buried at Muro. The said brother, Bentivoglio, being once all alone at Trave Bonati, nursing and serving a leper, received an order from his superior to go to another convent 15 miles off. Not wishing to abandon the poor leper, he placed him carefully on his back and charitably took him with him. Between the dawn of day and the rising of the sun, he accomplished the 15 miles and arrived with his burden at the convent to which he had been sent, which was called Monte Sansino. Had he been an eagle, he could not have flown as quickly, and such a miracle caused great wonder and surprise in all that country. Another brother, Peter of Monticello, who was the guardian of the old convent of Ancona, was raised several feet above the earth to the foot of the crucifix before which he was in prayer. This same brother Peter, having once observed the Lent of St. Michael with great devotion, as he was praying on the last day of the feast in the church, was heard to speak with St. Michael by a young man who had hidden himself behind the high altar in hopes of seeing something wonderful. And the words which he heard were these. The saint said to Brother Peter, "Thou hast suffered faithfully for my sake, and during many days hast mortified thy body. Wherefore I am come to comfort thee, and whatever grace thou askest of God I will obtain for thee." Brother Peter answered, "Most holy prince of the celestial host of saints, faithful servant of divine love and pious protector of souls, this is the grace I ask of thee, namely, that thou obtain from God the pardon of my sins." And St. Michael answered, "Ask some other grace, as this I will most easily obtain." And as Brother Peter asked for nothing else, the archangel added, "Through the faith and devotion which thou hast to me, I will obtain for thee not this grace only, but many others likewise." And when the conversation, which had lasted some time, was ended, the archangel Michael departed, leaving Brother Peter greatly comforted. At the same time lived Brother Conrad of Ophida in the convent of Ferrana, in the custody of Ancona, where resided Brother Peter. Having gone one day into the forest to meditate on God, Brother Peter followed him to see what would befall him. And Brother Conrad began to implore the Virgin Mary, with great fervor and devotion, to obtain from her blessed Son that he might experience somewhat of the sweetness which St. Simeon experienced the day of the purification, when in his arms he held Jesus, the blessed Savior. Having finished his prayer, the Virgin Mary obtained his request, and behold, the Queen of Heaven appeared in great splendor, with her blessed Son in her arms, and approaching Brother Conrad, placed the Holy Child in his arms. He received him most reverently, and embracing him, clasped him to his breast, his heart overflowing and burning with divine love and inexpressible consolation. Brother Peter, who witnessed this scene at a distance, felt likewise in his soul great sweetness and joy. When the Virgin Mary had departed from Brother Conrad, Brother Peter hastened back to the convent that he might not be seen. But when Brother Conrad arrived, full of joy and happiness, Brother Peter said to him, "O brother, thou hast received great consolation today." And Brother Conrad answered, "What sayest thou, Brother Peter? How dost thou know? Hast thou seen me?" "I know," answered Brother Peter, "that the Virgin Mary, with her blessed Son, has visited thee." And Brother Conrad, who, through great humility, wished to keep secret the grace with which God had favored him, entreated Brother Peter to tell no one what he had witnessed. And from henceforth, so great was the love which existed between these two brethren, that they seemed to have but one soul and one heart in all things. The said Brother Conrad, being once in the convent of Cerullo, delivered a woman who was possessed by a devil, by praying for her a whole night, and her mother coming to know it, he left the place in the morning that he might not be discovered and honored by the people. Chapter 43. How Brother Conrad of Ophida converted a young brother who was a stumbling block to the other brothers, and how after death his soul appeared to Brother Conrad, begging him to pray for him, and how through his prayer he was delivered from the great pains of purgatory. The life of the said Brother Conrad of Ophida, the great advocate of evangelical poverty and of the rule of St. Francis, was so exemplary and so meritorious in the sight of God that Christ the Blessed One honored him with many miracles, not only after death, but likewise during his life. Amongst others, being once on a visit to the convent of Ophida, the brothers begged him, for the love of God and of holy charity, to reprove a young brother in the said convent, whose conduct was so puerile and disordered, and his manners so dissolute, that he distracted all the brethren, both young and old, at divine office, and cared little or nothing for any of the observances of religious life. At the request of the brothers, and out of compassion for the said young man, Brother Conrad called him to him one day and reproved him with so much charity that a complete change took place in his heart, and the said young man, putting off his former childish way of life, became so obedient, so meek, so devout, so anxious to do what was right, so ready to serve others, and so zealous in the practice of every virtue, that the brethren to whom he had hitherto been a stumbling block found in him much comfort and satisfaction, so that they loved him dearly. Shortly after this conversation, it pleased God to take him out of the world, and his death caused great sorrow to the brethren. A few days after his soul had left the body, it appeared to Brother Conrad, as he was in prayer before the altar of the convent, devoutedly saluting him as his father. On Brother Conrad asking who he was, he answered, "I am the soul of the young brother who died a few days ago," said Brother Conrad to him. "My beloved son, how is it with thee?" And the soul answered, "By the grace of God and through thy teaching I have cause to be thankful, for I am not damned, but because of certain sins of which I had not time to repent while I was in the world, I am suffering the extremest pain of purgatory. And I pray thee, Father, as thou hast compassion on me when living, to help me now by thy prayers, and save for me some paters, for thy prayers are most acceptable to God." Then Brother Conrad, continuing his devotion, said for him a pater with a requiem aeternum. At this the soul said, "Holy Father, I am greatly refreshed already, and I pray thee to repeat thy prayer for me." Brother Conrad did as he was begged, and the soul said again, "As thou prayest for me, my sufferings are relieved. Wherefore I implore thee, cease not to pray for me." Then Brother Conrad, seeing that the soul of the young man was relieved by his prayers, said for his intention 100 paters, and when they were finished, the soul said to him, "I thank thee, dearest Father, in the name of God, for thy great charity towards me. Through thy prayers I have been delivered from the pains of purgatory, and am going to heaven." And with this the soul departed. Brother Conrad, in order or comfort and console the brethren, related to them the vision. And on this wise the soul of the young brother went to heaven through the merits of Brother Conrad. Chapter 44. How the Mother of Christ and St. John the Evangelist appeared to Brother Conrad and told him who had suffered this greatest sorrow at the Passion of Christ. When Brother Conrad and the aforenamed Brother Peter, the two shining lights of the custody of Ancona, were living together in the convent of Foreno, such love and charity existed between them that they seemed to have but one heart and one soul, and they would make known to each other and share every mercy which the Lord should send them. Having made this agreement, it happened one day, as Brother Peter was praying, devoutly meditating on the Passion of Christ, and how his Blessed Mother, the St. John the Evangelist, and St. Francis were represented at the foot of the cross as having been crucified with Christ in mental sufferings, He felt a great wish to know which of the three had suffered the greatest sorrow on account of the passion of Christ: the mother who had given him birth, the disciple who had laid his head on his bosom, or Saint Francis, who was, as it were, crucified with him. As he was meditating on this, the Virgin Mary appeared to him, with Saint John the Evangelist and Saint Francis, all clothed in the heavenly garb of glorified souls. And Saint Francis seemed to be dressed more richly than Saint John. At this vision, Brother Peter was greatly terrified. But Saint John comforted him by saying, "Fear not, dear brother, for we are come to enlighten thee in thy doubt. Know then that the Mother of Christ and I, his disciple, have suffered above every other creature at his passion. And after us Saint Francis has suffered more than all others. And this is why thou seest him in such glory." And Brother Peter said, "Why then, most holy apostle of Christ, are the vestments of Saint Francis more beautiful than thine?" "Because," answered Saint John, "when he was in the world he wore a humbler dress than I." And having said these words, he gave to Brother Peter a glorious vestment that he had in his hand, saying, "Take this dress which I have brought for thee." Then Saint John, being about to put it on him, Brother Peter fell down in terror and began to cry out, "Brother Conrad, Brother Conrad, haste thou to help me. Come and see most wonderful things." And as he said these words, the vision disappeared. Then Brother Peter related to Brother Conrad all he had seen, and they together returned thanks to God. Chapter 45. Of the conversion, life, miracles, and death of the holy brother John della Pina. When Brother John della Pina was still in the world as a boy in the province of Ancona, a beautiful child appeared to him one night and, calling him, said, "John, go to Santo Stefano, where one of my friars minor is preaching. Take heed to his words and believe the doctrine he teaches, for I have sent him to thee. After that thou shalt make a great journey, and then come to me." Then the boy John arose, being greatly troubled in mind, and reaching Santo Stefano, he found a great multitude of men and women waiting to hear a sermon. Now he who was about to preach was a friar named Philip, who was one of the first brethren to visit Ancona, for as yet there were but few converts established in the province. And the said brother Philip stood up to preach, and he did so most devoutly, not with words of worldly wisdom, but inspired by the Spirit of Christ. He announced the kingdom of eternal life. The sermon being ended, the boy went to Brother Philip and said to him, "Father, if thou wilt receive me into the order, most willingly will I do penance and serve our Lord Jesus Christ." And Brother Philip, seeing the great innocence of the child and his earnest desire to serve God, said to him, "Come to me on such a day at Recanati, and I will receive thee." Now a provincial chapter was to be held at Recanati, and the boy in his simplicity fancied that this was the journey he was to make according to the vision, and that after having accomplished it he would go to heaven, which he thought likewise would be as soon as he had been received into the order by Brother Philip. Seeing that it did not happen to him as he had expected, and the minister having said in chapter that if anyone wished to go to the province of Provence for merit of holy obedience, he would most willingly give him permission, and Brother John, feeling a great desire to go there, thinking in his heart that that would be the journey he was to make before he went to heaven, but lacking courage to say so, he confided his wish to Brother Philip, and entreated him to obtain for him permission to go to the province of Provence. Then Brother Philip, seeing his purity and the holiness of his intentions, obtained for him the permission he wished for, and the little Brother John set out on his way most joyfully, as he believed that, his journey being ended, he would go to heaven. But it pleased God that he should remain in the said province 25 years, always looking forward to the day of his departure, living in great sanctity, setting a most holy example, and increasing in virtue and in favor with God and man, so that he was much beloved by seculars as well as by the brethren. Now Brother John, being one day in prayer, weeping and lamenting that his wish was never accomplished, and his pilgrimage here below so lengthened, Christ the Blessed One appeared to him, and he felt his soul melt within him. Then said the Lord to him, My son, Brother John, ask of me what thou wilt. And he answered, My Lord, I have not else to ask thee but thyself, as I desire not else. But I ask thee to forgive my sins and to grant me the grace that I may see thee once more, when I shall have the greatest need of thy presence. And Christ the Blessed answered, Thy request is granted. And having said these words, he departed, leaving Brother John much comforted. At last the brothers of the province of Ancona, having heard of the fame of his sanctity, persuaded the general of the order to command him, out of holy obedience, to return to Ancona. No sooner had the order reached him than he set out most joyfully, hoping that on arriving he would go to heaven according to the promise of Christ. On arriving in the province, he lived there 30 years, not being recognized by any of his relations, and every day he expected that, through the mercy of God, the promise would be accomplished. During this time he often filled the office of guardian with much discretion, and the Lord performed many miracles through him. Amongst other gifts that he received from God was the spirit of prophecy. Being once absent from the convent, one of his novices was so strongly tempted by the devil that he determined to leave the order as soon as Brother John should return. On this, Brother John, being informed by the spirit of prophecy of the temptation and of the decision of the novice, hastened back to the convent, and calling the novice, ordered him to go to confession. But before he did so, he related to him all his temptations, as the Lord had revealed them to him, and ended by saying, My son, as thou hast waited for me, and wouldst not go away without my blessing, the Lord has had pity on thee, for not only wilt thou not leave the order, but thou shalt die in it in the grace of God. And the said novice remained in the order and became a holy brother. These things were related to me by Brother Ugolino. The said Brother John, albeit his mind was so happy and so calm, spoke but seldom. He was a man of prayer and rarely returned to his cell after matins, but remained in the church till morning. One night after matins, an angel of God appeared to him, saying, Brother John, thy life is ended. For the moment thou hast desired so ardently is come, and I make known to thee from God that thou mayest ask of him what grace whatsoever thou wilt. Likewise I announce to thee that thou mayest choose between one day in purgatory or 7 days of suffering in this world. And Brother John, having chosen the 7 days of suffering in this world, immediately fell ill, and was afflicted with divers diseases. For he had a great fever, and the gout in his hands and feet, besides a pain in his side, and many other sufferings. But worse than all this, a devil stood before him, holding a large paper on which were written all the sins he had ever committed in thought, word, or deed. Then said the devil to him, Because of these sins which thou hast committed in thought, word, and deed, thou art condemned to the depths of hell. And it seemed to him as if he had never done any good actions. He even forgot that he was in the order or ever had been in it, believing that he was damned, as the devil said. So that when the brothers asked him how he was, he answered, I am most unhappy because I am damned. The brothers, seeing this, sent for an aged friar named Brother Matthew of Monte Robiano, who was a holy man and a great friend of Brother John. When the said Brother Matthew arrived, the 7th day of his suffering was approaching, and going near him, he asked him how he was. I am in evil case, was the answer, because I am damned. Then said Brother Matthew to him, Dost thou not remember that thou hast often confessed to me, and I have absolved thee of all thy sins? Dost thou not remember likewise that thou hast served God for many years in his holy order? Dost thou not know that the mercy of God is greater than all the sins in the world, and that Jesus Christ, the Blessed One, our Savior, gave himself for our salvation? Have good hope, for I know of a certainty that thou wilt be saved. And as he spoke, the end of the trial arrived, and the temptation disappeared. Then was Brother John greatly comforted, and he said to Brother Matthew, My dear brother, thou art tired, and it is late. I pray thee go and take a little rest. But Brother Matthew would not leave him. Yielding, however, at last to his prayers, he went to take a little rest, and Brother John remained alone with the friar who served him. And lo, Christ the Blessed One appeared in great glory, as he had promised to appear to him once more when he should be in most need of him, and he healed him of all his infirmities.